December 25th, 1906. The Coming Crisis. Ellen G. White. With unerring accuracy, the Infinite One keeps an account with all nations. While His mercy is offered with calls to repentance, this account will remain open. But when a certain limit which God has fixed is reached, the ministry of His wrath begins. The account is then closed. Divine patience ceases. There is no more pleading for mercy in their behalf. The prophet, looking down the ages, had our time presented before his vision. The nations of this age have been the recipients of unprecedented mercies. The choicest of heaven's blessings have been given them. But increased pride, covetousness, idolatry, contempt of God, and base ingratitude are written against them. They are fast closing up their account with God. The days are fast approaching when there will be great perplexity and confusion in the religious world. There will be gods many and lords many. Every wind of doctrine will be blowing, and Satan, clothed in angel robes, would deceive, if it were possible, the very elect. The universal scorn thrown upon true piety and holiness leads those who have not a living connection with God to lose their reverence for His law. And as the disrespect for the divine law becomes more manifest, the line of demarcation between its observers and the world and a world-loving church will become more distinct. Love of God's precepts increases with one class, according as contempt for them increases with the other. The great I Am is vindicating His law. He is speaking to those who make it void in storms, in floods, in tempests, in earthquakes, in perils by land and by sea. Now is the time for His people to show themselves true to principle. We are standing on the threshold of great and solemn events. The Lord is at the door. Upon the Mount of Olives, the Savior rehearsed the scenes that were to precede this great event. "Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars," He said. "Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." While these prophecies received a partial fulfillment at the destruction of Jerusalem, they have a more direct application in the last days. John and the other prophets also were witnesses of the terrible scenes that will take place as signs of Christ's coming. They saw armies mustering for battle, and men's hearts failing them for fear. They saw the earth moved out of its place, the mountains carried into the midst of the sea, the waves thereof roaring and troubled, and the mountains shaking with the swelling thereof. They saw the vials of God's wrath opened, and pestilence, famine, and death come upon the inhabitants of the earth. Already the restraining Spirit of God is being withdrawn from the world. And hurricanes, tempests, disasters by sea and land follow each other in quick succession. Science seeks to explain all these. The signs thickening around us, telling of the near approach of the Son of God, are attributed to any other than the true cause. Men cannot discern the sentinel angels restraining the four winds that they may not blow until the servants of God are sealed. But when God shall bid His angels loose the winds, there will be such a scene of His avenging wrath as no pen can picture. A crisis is just upon us, but God's servants are not to trust to themselves in this great emergency. In the visions given to Isaiah, Ezekiel, and John, we see how closely heaven is connected with the events transpiring upon the earth. We see the care of God for those who are loyal to Him. The world is not without a ruler. The program of coming events is in the hands of the Lord. The majesty of heaven has the destiny of nations, as well as the concerns of His church, in His own keeping. God has revealed what is to take place in the last days, that His people may be prepared to stand against the tempests of opposition and wrath. Those who have been warned of the events before them are not to sit in calm expectation of the coming storm, comforting themselves that the Lord will shelter His faithful ones in the day of trouble. We are to be as men waiting for their Lord, not in idle expectancy, but in earnest work, with unwavering faith. It is no time now to allow our minds to be engrossed with things of minor importance. While men are sleeping, Satan is actively arranging matters so that the Lord's people may not have mercy or justice. The Sunday movement is now making its way in darkness. The leaders are concealing the true issue, and many who unite in the movement do not themselves see whither the undercurrent is tending. Its professions are mild and apparently Christian, but when it shall speak, it will reveal the spirit of the dragon. It is our duty to do all in our power to avert the threatened danger. We should bring before the people the real question at issue, thus interposing the most effectual protest against measures to restrict liberty of conscience. We should search the Scriptures and be able to give the reason for our faith. Says the prophet, "The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." The important future is before us. To meet its trials and temptations, and to perform its duties, will require great faith, energy, and perseverance. But we may triumph gloriously, for not one watching, praying, believing soul will be ensnared by the devices of the enemy. All heaven is interested in our welfare, and waits our demand upon its wisdom and strength. Every opposing influence, whether open or secret, may be successfully resisted, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. God is just as willing now as anciently to work through human efforts, and to accomplish great things through weak instrumentalities. We shall not gain the victory through numbers, but through full surrender of the soul to Jesus. Now, while mercy still lingers, while Jesus is making intercession for us, let us make thorough work for eternity.